We come once again to do something that we are commanded to do in the Scriptures. It's not an optional thing, but it's something that the Lord Jesus delivered to His disciples, and He said, "Do this in remembrance of Me." Over in the First Corinthians in chapter 11, Paul says this, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Now that was the reason that the Lord gave the truth that He gave to Paul, was so that he might have it to give to the saints. That's the reason the Lord gives men spiritual gifts, is for the benefit of the body. The Lord doesn't give men spiritual gifts for their own sake, but He gives them to men so that they might benefit the body. Now, quite often men think that they are that they've been given spiritual gifts, and they consume it upon themselves. They say, "Well, this is for my benefit." No. According to what the Scripture says, the Lord has given to every man these gifts to profit the whole. The body is to be profited by those gifts that the Spirit of God gives. And so it is by that that the Lord is pleased to give to His people such things as He would have them to have. And so Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me.' After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come.'" Now, we've talked about this many times, but this is really the heart and soul of the gospel. This is indeed why the church primarily gathers together, is to remember the Lord's death till He comes. That's why He called us to come together. Because you see, in doing that, the body is strengthened. There's no other way that we are strengthened except that our focus be on Jesus Christ. And as we take this bread and this wine, our focus is solely on that which He has performed. And that is what always is to be our focus. Now that is the place. And again, if you get to wondering whether or not something is proper to do in the assembly of the saints, that's the question that needs to be asked. Does it give glory to Christ alone? And if it does not, then it ought be not to be done. And it is a thing that is superfluous. So why do we come together to take this bread and this wine? It is for one reason, and one reason alone, to remember the Lord's death till He comes. And so He said, each time that we do it, we do show the Lord's death, or we do manifest it. And by manifesting it in a carnal way, this is carnal, it's of the flesh, it's of the earth, there's nothing spiritual here in this bread. This is made out of flour and water, and I don't know what all's in there, but it's just carnal stuff, and it's here on a plate that somebody made in a factory somewhere where they make plates, and it's sitting on a table that was made by Somebody chopped a tree down and cut up the wood and carved it out and polished it up and painted it, and it's sitting here before us. And the wine, somebody grew some grapes, and those grapes were picked by somebody, loaded in a truck probably, hauled off to a factory, and they squeezed the juice out of them, and then they made it into wine. And here it is, sitting here in front of us. And it in itself is of the earth. It's nothing unusual. You could really go anywhere, probably any country or place on earth, and find these very ingredients, and there they are. So there's nothing unusual about it. But it becomes very unusual when the Lord tells us to do it in remembrance of Him. Because it becomes something that becomes forbidden for a man to eat of it or to drink of it. Except that he do it with that recognition. Now, why is it that he says, as he goes on to say in this book, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body," not having regard to what this represents? Now, he told the Corinthians, he said, you come together and it's not for the right reason. You come together to eat. Anything wrong with eating?
No.
We do it all the time. It's a good thing. I enjoy it, as you can tell. Eating's a good thing. But he said, when you come together, he said, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. He says, you're not coming together for the right reason. He said, you're coming together because you like the food. We don't come together because carnally we like this food that's here. We're not here because we want to fill our carnal appetite. That's not the purpose of it. And so if we come here for that reason, some people come because it's just the expected thing. We're supposed to do it. And that's what you do. I remember as a young kid, one of the reasons I wanted to be baptized was I wanted to be able to take the Lord's Supper. Now, I didn't have any spiritual reason for doing that. I just wanted to be able to do it because everybody else was doing it. And the only way you could do it, you had to join the church and be baptized. And that was part good enough for me. I wanted to do that. And I joined up. And sure enough, I could do it. It didn't mean any more to me after I did that than it did before. Because I had no understanding of it. I had no spiritual knowledge. I had no concept of what it was. But Paul said, the Lord said, as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. You manifest it. Because he is that one who is the center, the sum, and the substance of this supper. And if you don't have regard to him as who he is, then you have no business whatsoever taking this. But regardless of who you are, or where you came from, or how you got here, if in your soul and in your very being you have a desire to magnify Christ Jesus the Lord, and the death that he died on Calvary's cross is a precious thought in your mind, then he says, come. Because you see, that's what it is to examine yourself. Why do you want to take this? Or why would you not want to take this? Because if Christ He is. That one who's precious unto you. Then indeed this supper is made for those who desire to remember his death till he comes. Now if we remember his death, what do we remember first? When we remember his death, we must remember the one who died. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world and he walked among men, and if you had been there and walked among men and seen him, you would not have recognized that he was anything special. There is no beauty in him that we should desire him. There was nothing special. I know in all the movies and all this, he's this great charismatic figure, you know, and he stands out in the crowd and all of this. He didn't stand out in the crowd, except when he opened his mouth, except when he went about doing good. You see, he did stand out in the crowd, but he stood out in the crowd because he was a perfect man. And he went about doing those things that were good, and there was no guile found in his mouth. So we remember this one who he was. Who was he? He was one born of a virgin, the Scripture says. He was without sin. And he walked among men as a man. But who was he? He was that one who formed the earth, the heavens, the stars, the angels, all those things that are in existence are those things which his hands have made. Remember his death. Oh, remember the one who came. He was not a mere man. He was a man. He was fully man. He was not less than man. He was not a special man. He was a man. But he was more than a man, because he was and is the eternal God. The Scripture says that he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we will remember that fact, that he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is, there's no way that a man could ever have seen God except that Jesus Christ had come into the world and walked among men. You realize that? You see, God inhabits eternity. We're finite beings. He's infinite. There's no way that we could ever have any fellowship with him or any knowledge of him or any understanding of God, except that God, who's rich in mercy, did come and walk among us. And he dwelt among us full of grace and truth. No man has seen God at any time but Jesus Christ, who's in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him so that we see him as he walks among men, as that eternal God who has seen fit to reveal himself unto men. But we see him as that one who would undertake to save a people that he loved before he created anything that you and I could possibly see with our carnal eyes. And there was no cosmic necessity that caused Jesus Christ to come into the world. Now, I've heard the gospel proclaimed and taught in sometimes in fashion that there was like some necessity that was laid upon God to send Jesus Christ into the world to redeem sinners. There was no necessity outside of God himself. and that which he would purpose that would cause him to do anything. And certainly the redemption of men is not the response to some cosmic necessity that was laid upon him. Now what are you going to do? No. You see, he purposed to save his people just as much so as he purposed to come into the world made in the likeness of sinful flesh. It was according to that which he determined to do. Oh, what a glorious thing, dear brethren, that this one who came into the world, you see, that's why it is that when he stood before Pontius Pilate and Pilate said, "Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you?" He said, "You don't have any power at all." He said, "I have the power." He said, "I have the power to lay down my life. And I have the power to take it again." Oh, remember this one, dear brethren, who came into the world with no necessity upon him except that he would demonstrate the love that he had for those whom he chose in Christ from before the foundation of the world. And how would he do it? He'd do it in such fashion that overwhelms the senses of men. You see, we know what it is, to some extent at least, to suffer. Do we not?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not all acquainted with the same level of suffering, and we certainly have not been acquainted with his suffering in the level that it was, but we have some understanding of it. We have some understanding of what it is to die. Though we have not died, we have certainly all had those who were dear to us and we've loved and we've seen them die and their breath be taken from them and we can no longer have their fellowship and friendship, and we know what that is. But you see, the one thing that we have never known, and by the grace of God we will never know, that our Lord Jesus Christ did know, was what it is to be cast out of the presence of the God of glory. I don't know how that is. I can't wrap my mind around that. But yet that's what he did for us. You see, he bore that which we deserved. And he would demonstrate to us what we deserved in what he did to Jesus Christ. Why? Because he loved us with an everlasting love. And what do? When we come here today, we remember his death till he comes again. Dear brethren, it was a real death. It was attended with all the sorrow and the sadness and the finality of what death is. And it was even a worse death than any man could ever endure. You see, the wicked are going to be destroyed, the scripture says. But they're going to be destroyed not having any love whatsoever for the God of glory. The wicked are going to be destroyed in the love that they have of their own self and of their own way and of their own religion and of their own pathway, whatever it is. They're going to be destroyed in the midst of that. But you see, Jesus Christ tasted death for his people as a man who loved the God of glory. The Scripture speaks about that there are some that will say unto him in that day, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? And he will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. And surely that's an awful thing. But dear brethren, those men who are cast away in such things as that have had some satisfaction in the walk of their religion. But you see, Jesus Christ desired to do one thing, and that was to please his Father. And the one thing that he desired more than anything else in all the world was taken from him. Because he became sin in the sight of his Father. And he hung on Calvary's cross in the Lord and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because you see, God did forsake him. He did forsake him. He turned his back on him. The heavens became dark. And the angels fell on their faces. And they said, oh God. Remember his death. Till he comes again. Because, dear brethren, that's what he said to do. He is the Savior of sinners. And were it not that in his purpose he did rise from the dead, we would have no salvation. But you see, the glory in the death of Christ is that he proved who he was. Because just as real and as sure and as absolute as the death that he undertook for us was, just as sure as that is, absolutely, in the time when it pleased him, he took that life right back into his own body. And he came out of the tomb as a triumphant, glorious victor whose death we remember. Because he's coming again. He said, till he comes, I'm coming back. How do we know? Because he said, this same one said, if it wasn't so, I would never have told you this. The Lord doesn't play games. The Lord doesn't play games with those whom he loves. But what he tells them, he will do. And he says to them, I will. Come again, just as surely as I gave my life for you. So I will take you to be with me. Oh, what a glorious thing. May we remember the Lord's death. Remember the one who died. And remember why it is that he did die. Because he loved us with an everlasting love.